Anyam Home is a space where we can all engage about self-love, self-worth, relationships, trauma, and healing. I hope that you enjoy your stay, and I am your host, Tando.
Hi everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again. Thank you for clicking on the link or finding the podcast on Apple or Spotify. Thank you so much for coming by, and we hope we have something special for you that will be of value to you and your journey today. So today we are going to talk about very, very hard things in the general sense. We're just going to be talking about how you actually can do some of the hard things that you think you can't do. A lot of the times we think we know ourselves, or we get to know ourselves, and so we start to believe every single story that we tell ourselves or that has been told about us. So we start to sort of make our ceilings lower. We start to believe every single thing about our abilities and maybe the limitations that we place on ourselves as well. So today we want to talk about the fact that you really can do hard things. Whatever difficult thing is ahead of you in your journey, you know yourself best. You know your situation best, but you can do whatever it is that you need to do, no matter how difficult it is. Sometimes we need to push each other in that direction. Sometimes it's not just going to come naturally. Sometimes you need someone to remind you or to give you that permission or to allow their lights to shine so that you know that it's actually okay for you to do the same. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're just going to talk about the difficult things that we have going on that we might need to do, the importance of community and support in doing some of these difficult things, the inner critic and that inner voice that tells you that you can't do it. And then what kind of things are too difficult? When can we actually walk away from a difficult situation? So that's how our conversation is going to be structured today. Please do stick around. I think that there's something really special here. So I will start off by asking you, Ms. Tando, hi, how are you?
I am good. Thank you. I'm excited once again. I find that these recordings actually bring so much light to my life, and just the engagement that people always offer does keep me going every single week. And so I'm really excited about life once again. I'm excited about what we can do. And also, I think this conversation is very important beginning of the year, because we are going to encounter so many difficult things. And I just want to bring light to what exactly we deem as difficult. So healing is very difficult. We've seen how much of a toll and a stress healing can take on our bodies, on our mental well-being, on how we show up for people and how we show up for ourselves, and moving on, forgiving other people, forgiving ourselves, letting go. Those experiences, you know, of transitioning from being a teenager to now having responsibilities and trying to get a job or finishing university, and then now what's next, you know. A lot of these things are really difficult because there's no guideline as to what you need to do. There's no step-by-step of this is what you need to do and this is what you need to do after. We really just take it as a per experience. And so I'm really excited about this conversation. But how are you doing?
Oh my word, I'm okay. I'm honestly okay. I am tired though. I decided not to take leave in December, nor did I take leave in January, and that has caught up with me. And so I'm long overdue for some rest. I think a friend of mine gave me such a cool idea. She was just like, just book yourself into a hotel for a few days, because hotels have the blackout curtains, and sleep.
Yes. That so sounds like a really amazing plan. Yeah. And I remember we spoke about burnout. So I think maybe we should do a follow up about beginning of the year fatigue, because a lot of people are experiencing that. I myself am experiencing a lot of exhaustion beginning of the year. And I think it's really because we went in so hard, all of us just determined to make this year really, really work out. And so it might be something to look into and how we can navigate that. But before we, you know, get ahead of ourselves, I just want to know from you and your own life and experiences, what have you been finding extremely difficult to do in your life? And have you seen any progress in how you've been handling what you are experiencing?
Oh my gosh, definitely. The answer is very, very yes. So the difficult thing that I'm struggling with right now is as we actually alluded to last week, is boundaries, setting certain boundaries with my own self and other people. So there's like conversations that are very big and difficult that I have been shame. I'm not avoiding them, but I think I've been struggling to find the right words. And also because I've been so tired, like I said, I didn't take leave. Because I've been so tired, I haven't necessarily been able to just take that 2 minutes out and say, let me do this thing. So I think my hard things right now is setting those boundaries and also prioritizing properly. I don't think I prioritized myself properly last year and going into this year, which is why maybe I made the mistake of not taking leave or just taking a few days genuinely off. Yeah. And so those are the difficult things. Those are the conversations that I really need to have with myself about, you know, letting go of being, you know, that person that's there for everybody else or that people pleaser. I need to really just accept that I might become a little less liked. And I might have to be a little bit more aggressive, or I mean, not in the negative sense, but I think I might have to accept that it's time for me to do something differently. And I think I've been really, really struggling with that. So that is my big, fat, difficult thing. And I'm hoping that, like I said, when I take my few days off now at the end of Jan, I'll be able to actually just sit down with myself and find the way to express myself. If I'm going to put it in writing, in a letter, in an email, in a message, if I'm going to ask for a conversation, just figuring out those nitty-gritties.
Yeah, and also it's important to note that when you do set your boundaries, you are going to, I mean, lose a lot of people, but you don't want to do it in such a way that you become a villain in everyone's story. But you cannot avoid being that villain, because sometimes you will set your boundaries and you will come out as the villain in some people's stories, because it's like, okay, now you're changing on us. Why are you switching up on us now when you had all this time? But like, I do wish you well in those conversations. It is hard, and those conversations need to be had when you are physically and mentally in the space to have them. So rest is very productive, and it is so important to even your friend who is saying just sleep for a couple of days and not attend to anything, not attend to work, not attend to people, and not overextend yourself. And I think on my end, one thing that I am really struggling with is the fact that I tend to blame myself a lot for other people's shortcomings or some things that they did that directly impact me. And I always try to find an excuse as to why they would do certain things. And my recent encounters, I've been trying to blame myself a little less and to acknowledge the fact that sometimes it's not even about me. It really isn't about me. And people have a lot of traumas that they are experiencing. People are dealing with a lot, and it's really a reflection of myself or anything that I have done, but simply just a reflection of the journey that they are on. And so whilst I know that, whilst I'm very conscious about that, it is hard to implement it on a day-to-day basis. In the bigger grand scheme of things, yes, I am able to implement that, but on a day-to-day basis, when people do things, I don't know, I feel like I tend to internalize them. And the best way to experience life is genuinely to not internalize things and to not make things personal. But how do you even draw that line when so many of these things affect the way that you navigate life? And so really removing myself from those situations and detaching has been really hard. It's something that you keep on learning every single day. It's not something that you wake up one day and you realize, oh, I'm able to detach really quickly from this. And I've also had to learn the idea that just because I keep talking about it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not healed from something, because I cannot dissociate myself from my history. You know, it's a part of me. It's my past. And just because I have moved on from something, I shouldn't attach shame from speaking about it any longer. And I think we shy away from speaking about the things that really hurt us before, because we think, no, it will symbolize that I've not healed from this, I have not moved on from this, I'm still hyper focused on this one thing that happened in my life. And so I'm finding spaces for me that are soft and gentle for me to be able to come back and to say, yes, I might have, you know, moved on from this, but I think, given that there is new information that is coming onto the surface, I'd like to reevaluate how I feel about this specific thing. So just not really blaming myself for a lot of stuff, not carrying people's baggage, detaching from the experiences that I am experiencing, and also just finding common ground where I can exist with my problems, my past, and also being able to be grateful that there's so much already happening. That's also another thing, is that gratitude can coexist with feelings of sadness, of wanting more, of not being enough, of being inadequate. And so I try to not shame myself for those feelings anymore. If I am finding that I'm blaming myself for something, I just take it as it comes. So I guess that for me is something that I am dealing with. In terms of how that's going for me and the progress, I mean, I don't know. We take it one day at a time, and I'm pretty much okay with taking things a day at a time, and I'm pretty okay with not knowing what's next, because no one has the answers. We're all just navigating life based on our experiences and trying to expose ourselves to as less trauma as possible than the day before. So I don't know. I don't know. How do you feel about your progress? How is everything going for you, and how are you rebuilding your confidence in yourself and your ability after, you know, burning out, after being very exhausted and knowing that you have to have these conversations, but you're just prolonging them until you're fine? How are you rebuilding your confidence to get to a point where you actually are able to have these conversations and there's a lot of vitality now back in your body and your mind?
Yeah, I think it's three things for me that have been helping me rebuild my confidence in my ability to get through some of the difficult things that I have to do. And those three things would be community, faith in myself, and patience. Yeah. So in terms of community, I am very, very lucky to be guided and to have people in my life that I can ask for direction and whose advice is, to me, the kind that I can take. You know, I can look at their life and say, is this person doing something that I want to be doing with my life? Mm-hmm. How does this person handle their relationships? And do our values align? Can I really trust the advice you give me? So I've been very fortunate to have people that around me in my working environment and even in my friendships that I can really lean on for good counsel. These are people that are able to praise and support and nurture as much as they're able to tell me what to look out for and tell me how I can actually improve on some of the things that I'm doing. So I'm very, very blessed to just have that structure around me. So like I said, community. Then I said faith in myself. So when I say you can do hard things, and we can, like when we title this episode that, it's a prayer. It is literally a faith prayer. I'm literally moving in. It's a little bit of blind faith and a teaspoon, like just a teaspoon of delusion as well, because I'm also just like some things just seem so huge, so impossible. But I'm also just having that faith in myself to say, okay, let's pull out the history book. As you said, I love that you actually made mention of the fact that you're allowed to go back to certain things. So I pull out my sheets and I look and I say, well, how did I deal with this difficult thing or that other difficult thing? How have I been getting through the difficult things that have been coming through the different stages of my life? And seeing that, okay, I was able to get through that, therefore I can get through this. Being able to have that, you know, pulling out those receipts on myself is really, really important, because now I can have faith that, okay, you know what? There was a point where I did not know how on earth I would get out of this or that situation, and I did. So I can do this again. I can actually continue to do something that's difficult. I can rebuild my confidence because I've got it in me. I've done it before. I can do it again. And then the last thing is patience, which is exactly what you're saying, taking it one day at a time. And when you were speaking, I was just thinking about how sometimes the way we feel doesn't necessarily move at the pace of life. So you'll find that life is busy carrying on around you, or you'll find that there's a situation that's happened and maybe somebody else has moved on. You'll find that maybe you've received an apology and whoever made you feel away is fine. They don't think about it. They're not feeling it anymore. But you find that you still are. you know, and it's not because maybe there was something wrong with the apology, but sometimes your feeling and your inner process doesn't move at the speed of life. And sometimes life can move so fast. You've got 24 hours in one day. You've got work, you've got your hobbies, you've got your business, you've got so many things going on in that short space of time that it can seem like something's wrong with you for not getting over things as fast as they happen. But things are happening so quickly. So I'm just going to give myself that patience. My name is Linda, for goodness sakes. So I'm going to just give myself that patience to say that it is okay if you are still feeling a bit scared. It is okay if it takes you a little bit of time to move from this place to the next. This is my life. I know my situation best. I know my abilities best. I know my experience best. Therefore, I need to be patient with myself. And that's really how I'm trying to move through, just building my confidence up again and trusting myself enough to say, I can do this.
Yeah. Can I actually interrupt you for a little bit? I think the reason why sometimes we feel like we are not moving at the same pace as the world, as life, is because we are indeed intrinsic beings. We're so complex that there are so many things that affect how we move and how we navigate life. So whilst you might feel like you're moving really slow, you might actually not even be moving really slow. You might just be pushing yourself too hard to ensure that maybe you don't fall back. But in you doing that, you're just putting too much pressure on yourself, because at the end of the day, yes, you might show up in the world and navigate the world the best way you know how. But if you're not navigating it in a way in which it pours back into your life, it grows you, or it makes your experience worth living, then there is definitely no point in you living that life to begin with. Because ultimately, yes, we have a destination, but in between the now and that destination, you need to live your life. You need to be able to experience life with people around you. And whilst everyone around you might be moving fast, you need to recenter yourself and just figure out what exactly it is that is out of balance. Because I think if my life keeps getting harder, I've just learned to take that as a sign to change something in my routine, because maybe something is not working. Maybe I need to try something else. And in trying new things, new difficult things, it takes time. It's the same thing as children who are learning to write, to speak, to walk. It really takes time, because it's not in your second nature to do that. So you need to learn how to do it. So yes, you need to practice so much patience with yourself. We are very complex. There are so many systems that need to come into play and work with each other. So when one is out of balance, you need to investigate which one it is. And like I was saying, that I tend to blame myself for other people's shortcomings in that period. When I evaluate where exactly is this stemming from, it's stemming from my past, where in the past, I used to be praised so much for everything. Like everyone, like I was the poster child. Okay, like grew up the poster child at home. I grew up the poster child at school. And so now when I'm finding myself in relationships where people don't fully show up for me, or where people don't fully praise me for the things that I think they should be praising me for, then I blame myself and say, am I doing too little? But I'm not doing too little. I'm just placed in a different environment that is not catering to me the same way that the other environment did. And so I need to say, maybe I'm not evolving at the pace at which I need to be in this particular environment, and then that's where I can start. So I think it is very important to note that there's so many things that come into play when you are dealing with difficult stuff. It's not really just making up your mind and waking up and saying, I can deal with this thing. There are so many things to investigate and to interrogate. And in terms of community, I've realized just how important community has been in my own life. For example, the Hanyam Home community, this community has really poured back into my cup in ways I'd never imagined it would. At first, when I started this, I was like, okay, I have so much to say, might as well just put it out there. And a lot of people have been telling me, you've saved my life. And in them saying that, it has subsequently saved my life. And also in building community in my own life, my own personal life, my friends, my family, the people that I meet on a daily basis, you realize just how much we bounce off each other. And there are times where I feel extremely alone, And then someone just shows up for me in that time period and says, hey, do you want to go out, grab brunch? Do you want to just have a phone call? Do you want to speak? What's going on? You can always reach out to people, and you have people who genuinely care about you. And when you have that, you become so excited about life. Life becomes so much easier, and you see a point in doing more, in being more, and showing up for people around you. But with all of that said, I know how we can always limit ourselves in our thought processes, like how we've been saying that we just limit ourselves to what we know, and we don't want to do the difficult things. We don't want to step into the uncomfortable stuff. We don't want to step outside of our box, and we don't think we are capable of some things because they are probably beyond us, or like bigger than us, or they're too complex. And so how much of your inner critic do you believe?
Girl, she is such a liar. That hun stays lying.
No, for real. She is.
My word. My arch nemesis. Yep. My evil twin. Oh my gosh. She is a liar. Okay.
Yes.
So I think it's fair and it's important to speak about the fact that, look, you know, where do your fear reactions come from? Or where does criticism or criticism for yourself come from? Mm. And I can understand it insofar as your body and your mind, or the inner you, trying to find a way to protect itself from danger. Mm-hmm. When you find yourself in danger, your entire body reacts to that situation so that they can get you out of the danger. So yes, if you are in the jungle for whatever reason and you're lost, and maybe you guys been camping with a group, your body reacts in such a way as to make sure that you are alert of whatever danger comes. So you might release some of your stress hormones, maybe your cortisol or whatever, your adrenaline. So when you're in a situation that could possibly pose a threat or danger to you, your body is reacting in such a way that it keeps you safe, or it protects you from that danger. We know that the common responses, or our responses to threat, our three responses are flight, fight, or freeze. You know, so depending on the danger, your body and your inner workings are doing the analysis to say, okay, can I fight my way out of this? Can I flight my way out of this? Or should I simply freeze, depending on the threat level? And so the inner critic is important, of course, because sometimes that inner critic will keep you from doing something that could possibly be harmful.
Yeah.
But the issue is that we've been through so much trauma, we've been through so much stuff, that our inner critic can sometimes be off because of how often we are experiencing these stressful situations, and how often we are needing to respond to flight, fight, or freeze. We're in survival mode a lot of the time. And so it's hard to distinguish between when this person, this inner critic, is really keeping you safe, or when this inner critic is actually holding you back because it's out of whack, because you've just been through way too many things, that the system isn't working perfectly anymore. And I think this is something you alluded to, which is just also just is being able to detach the shame from certain things. So once I was able to say, okay, fine, I'm not going to feel ashamed for feeling a little bit nervous, a little bit unsure, it was very, very helpful. And then I started to learn my different voices. Like I learned what the different voices sound like. So I know what anxiety, I know what confidence sounds like, I know what my procrastination sounds like, and I know what my overconfidence sounds like. And I make room to hear it out, to say, okay, well, what is it that you actually have to say? And then depending on where I am, I'm able to sort of sift out what's actually true and what's not. Yeah. And so in terms of the inner critic, I do appreciate what you've got to say. I really do appreciate that you're trying to keep me safe out here. That is fantastic. But I'm also open to being uncomfortable sometimes, and knowing that safety isn't always the way to get some of the things that I need. But also knowing that, and I think this is just where community comes back in, you've got people around you that encourage you and that see your light. So in terms of how you were speaking about this community, the Honey I'm Home community, like, it is insane how someone will just like reach out to you and say, thank you for helping me with A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Like, you have no idea. This has really, really helped me.
Yeah.
And when something like that happens, your inner critic can be silenced, because it's like, okay, this is what you saw, but someone saw something else. And so I've learned to appreciate the voice of the inner critic, but to also distinguish when I'm actually being realistically kept from something or told to apply caution with something, and when I'm actually holding myself back. If you look at some of the prompts, I create prompts like journal prompts, and I journal and I meditate quite a lot, which also helps, you know, to calm me down and figure out what's really going on inside. But if you look at my prompt, I'm very big on setting the intention. And my intention is how I want to feel going through a process. And so when I've got the intention, that is really, really great, because I start with how I want it to go or how it should go, how calm I want to feel throughout this process. And then when I can see that this inner critic is kind of distracting me from what I said I wanted, I can ask her very kindly to shut up.
Yeah. And sorry,
what about you?
Yeah, I was about to actually just jump in to say, I've realized, like, in my own life, that a lot of the times my inner critic has kind of been shaped by the external voices and the external noise. And so a lot of what I say to myself is what people have said to me. And a lot of the things that I do are because people have done those things to me. And I've been reading, I've had the courage to pick the book up again, What Happened to You by Oprah. And she speaks a lot about how the brain doesn't know the difference anymore. Like, if you're a child and you're exposed to certain experiences, the brain kind of stores all that information, and it makes it so that you believe that that is your second nature, right? And so even your body will store certain feelings, like how you're saying, I now know what anxiety feels. When your body keeps a score of that anxiety to ensure that when you are in a situation that is making you feel anxious, you can at least recognize anxiety for what it is. And so for me, I've started moving in such a way that the environments that I'm in, I try as much as I can to project a reaction that I would like to elicit, because I've realized that the more I project good things, I elicit good things. So whatever reaction I want to elicit from someone, I need to be projecting that onto someone. And that has really, really guided me in navigating my environments, because then I'm reshaping my inner critic, and I'm reshaping it from being my inner critic to being my inner friend and my inner help. And there are less conversations that I'm having with myself that are detrimental, a lot less conversations that I'm having that are the negative self-fulfilling prophecy. And I said something on my story about how for the year that I'm going into, I want to have less of those thoughts. And you can reshape your inner critic. It is hard. It's difficult. It takes so much for you to be able to reshape your environment to begin with. And so that ultimately will lead to you reshaping your inner critic, to making sure that that voice that you spend so much time with is kinder to you. And yes, that voice is always going to help you. It's almost like your intuition, that this is not what we're meant to be doing. This is what we are meant to be doing. This is how we feel when we do this. This is what you should be doing. And it will always guide you. And I think I read something about poisoning intimacy. And from that, I can draw the fact that we poison our own experiences by the thoughts that we keep. Okay. And yes, whilst this inner critic is so important in our lives, and we can't fully detach from it, because there will always be times where we speak ill of ourselves, or we try to rob ourselves of experiences because we don't think we're good enough, I think it is also important to try to be so kind to yourself when you do have those thoughts, in the very same breath as when you are having really, really good days with that voice, and you're having your confident days, and you feel unstoppable, you're walking on water. You need to extend the same amount of love on both days, both the bad days.
Yes.
And so I think, like, we tend to ignore it when we are having a really good day. So we don't put attention onto it to say, oh, hey, listen, today we feel really confident. I celebrate those days when I'm feeling really good. I want to be seen. I want myself to be out there. But also on my bad days, I want to extend love to myself and to say, yes, I might not want to feel seen today, but I see myself and I hear myself, and that is important. So realizing that, yes, whilst this voice has stayed with me for such a long time, a lot of it was shaped by my environment, by my parents, by my friends, by my teachers, by people I spend a lot of time with. And so in changing that inner critic, you need to also change the people that are around you. And when you are finally surrounded by people that are really, really good for you, it changes. Like for me, last year, I used to be so critical of myself. I remember I started Honey, I'm Home on an IGTV series, and I was so critical. Like I would edit the recordings and I would think to myself, do people want to see this? Is this valuable to people? But I didn't realize it just came from the belief that like nothing I say is good enough for people. And so I stopped. But then people kept on asking me, hey, are you going to come back with season two? Are you going to come back? You really helped me. Like how you were saying, we can both look at the same thing, but not get the same thing out of it. And so whilst people believe in you, why is it so hard for you to believe in yourself? So I think that for me mm-hmm. has been like so important to notice. It's the same thing again, like we were speaking last week about forgiveness. The very same people that you keep forgiving, why aren't you able to forgive yourself as well? So even in nursing your inner critic, you will have shortcomings, but it's fine. That's life. Like that's really, really life. And so I guess to kind of like draw towards the end of our conversations, I would like for us to explore how we can become comfortable with the temporary pain, because there will be a lot of pain when you are doing difficult things, especially if you are in isolation or if you're doing something for the first time. And when you are healing, you might find that you are not moving at the pace that you want to move, or you are not letting go as quickly as you should, or you're not opening up as much as you want to open up. So how can we be okay and content with being in that place, but also not staying content in that place for too long, that we make it our reality, that we make it something that is part of our personality? How can we let go of that pain when the time is right?
Yeah, I love that question, because it's kind of just like, well, how much discomfort is too much discomfort? Mm-hmm. How much, you know, pain in terms of the process is too much pain? And what is the actual payoff? Like, what's the payoff? Like, why would I put myself through something hard? Mm-hmm. Why would I open up about this experience? Why would I start going to therapy if I have to go through things that are really, really difficult? Why yeah. would I do all of that thing? Right. All of those things, excuse me. And I think it's then to always think about the payoff. Like, what am I really gaining if mm-hmm. I'm able to complete this process? And it's also important to look at it as a process, as just that, and to understand yes. that you're not always going to be stuck here, and to find in whatever way you can a way to measure your own gains. So in being able to measure your own gains, you'll put like time limits or at least time frames to guide how long you want something to take. So let's say the difficult thing you've got going on this year is making friends. That's mm-hmm. hard. So, you know, if you can say, okay, well, I'm dedicating the rest of the year to giving it a shot, to putting myself out there, to meeting up with people, and then saying, okay, at the end of the year, I'm going to review that. Or in 6 months, I'm going to review it and say, well, how has it been going? Like, have people been responding? Am I feeling safe with these people? Am I overextending? So it's up to you to decide when to review and to make sure that, you know, you're actually being mm-hmm. adequately, I'm scared of saying compensated, but it's important that yeah. you're able to feel like this is, it's worth it. It's yeah. actually worth putting myself through the difficulty. So I think what guides your threshold should be the payoff. Yeah. And if the payoff is so huge for you, then I think the discomfort might be worth it. And that's always mm-hmm. up to you to determine based on the different goals or the guides that you put on for yourself to say, well, this is how I measure the progress of how this is actually going for me?
And it's interesting also. Yeah, it's interesting also that different situations will obviously bring about different payoffs, and it'll bring about different discomforts. Like how you now brought up the example of making friends, the opposite can also be true. Letting go of friends, you can measure the progress by setting a threshold to say, once I've reached this limit or once I've reached this point, then I'm able to say, yes, maybe I might have dealt with letting go. But also, it's easier to measure things when you, for example, are making friends, because the payoff is I now have the friend. But then in letting go, it's hard because you don't actually see how much you've healed until you put yourself in situations that expose you to maybe experiences that you've had before. And it might be a little bit hard because that might trigger you and take you back to square one. Because in letting go, it's so much of just the background, like being in the background, isolating yourself or going into community or trying to do things differently, letting go of a routine, letting go of the things you used to say to someone, letting go of the inner jokes and things like that. And so there will be different indicators of your growth. And it's important to, I think, set those indicators beforehand, because it's easier when you know what exactly you are going to look out for, as opposed to going into it blindly. And so I really do think sometimes you won't get what you want, but you have to trust and believe that you do have enough that you need in that season to navigate that season. And so always being conscious of your growth, and in being conscious of your growth, also being conscious of living and being present in the moment. Don't let life pass you by. I think we make the mistake of thinking that healing or letting go, making friends or whatever difficult thing we're doing is meant to be done in isolation. It can be done within a community. It can be done whilst you are moving on. It can be done whilst you're learning something new. It can be done whilst you are completely, completely immersed in your joy, immersed in new experiences. And I think that is where we could end the episode, unless you have something to add, Linda.
I think that's the best place to end the episode, to say that you yeah. can do difficult things and don't be afraid, because you'll still actually enjoy your life, and you can you can do this. You really can.
And there's no guilt that needs to be felt because you are going through a difficult process, yet still immersing yourself in things that make you happy. I think that's how it's meant to be. A lot of the times we think we can't say I'm grateful or I'm blessed or I'm happy because you're dealing with this one particular thing that is just a dark cloud in your life. You can have those two things coexist, but just ensure that the one doesn't, the negative one doesn't outweigh the positive one. So I think that is where we will end this conversation, by saying we can all do difficult things. We can all learn from the difficult things. We can all learn from each other. We can all build community. We can all heal our inner critic, and we can all gain an inner friend, and we can be guided. We are always guided. We are always protected. And so until next time, thank you so much for tuning in. We are so, so excited about what's to come for Honey I'm Home, the next episodes that we're going to be doing. So do come back, do stick around, do give us feedback. Next week, we do have a viewer's choice episode. So we will be putting up a question poll, and you can ask us anything you would like for us to cover. And
until next time, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating, and please do interact with us on what you would love to hear next week. Thank you so much. Be safe, be good, have fun. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.